subject, a today word for the church, the corporate church. We're going to talk about deceiving spirits. And you know how timely this word is. Whenever, if you recall, I was praying about, Lord, do I go into the book of Revelation or do I go into 1 Timothy? And I really felt the Lord leading me in 1 Timothy as we've been doing. What a timely word 1 Timothy is for the culture and the day that we live in. Amen? Remember now that Paul commanded Timothy. He said, Timothy, you have to remain in Ephesus. The church is falling apart. You have to set it in order. And that's exactly what he's doing. He was commanded to stop the some, meaning all those false teachers who we don't know exactly who they were and who were teaching, telling them to teach sound doctrine. And they were teaching, remember, leading the church astray with myths and fables and so forth. So Timothy comes in and he's straightening that out and he's reinstating prayer and so forth and getting that all taken care of. And he's been commanded to make sure that the women, that they're learning the word of God. Jesus brought women up to their rightful place. Amen. And then as he does all of that, he does something else. He comes in and he's commanded like it was last week. He says, Timothy, you've got to go in and you have to restore godly leadership, reestablish godly leadership at Ephesus. Now, listen very carefully. I know that I've said this before, but I want to remind you. Remember that Ephesus is a city, a huge city, a very modern city of that time, and it's rooted in the occult. You could even call it one of the great cities that was a stronghold of Satan, or even one of the capitals of Satan. Does that make sense? Rooted in magic, rooted into the occult, rooted in fable and myths and so forth, wandering wizards and all over the city and so forth, and all the magic incantations and the things like that. And plus they worship Diana. The Temple of Diana, huge, one of the seven wonders of the world. Remember that their goddess, Diana, she exalted, women higher than men. She gave supremacy to women. She never married, remember, and all that. That's a myth, she's not real. Okay, so what's amazing is, as we look at this city and we go back and historically and then we bring it up to today, the worship of Diana was the worship of the demonic. Amen? Listen. They built one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Diana. Was she there? Whenever they worshiped her and cried out to her, oh, great is Diana of the Ephesians, did she hear? No. Whenever they sacrificed to her, did she so say thank you? Why? She's not real. She's not there. Do you understand? Now listen, that is so important because there is only one God. There's only one Savior. There's only one good news. Amen? Now we need to know that this morning and embrace that this morning as we get into our text, because behind every other religion except Christianity, there's the demonic. Now I know that other cults and isms and whatnot would be very upset with me saying that. But there is only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. All other gods are false gods. Does that make sense? But behind every other religion, there is a demonic presence. Remember when Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, he told them about the worship of Aphrodite and so forth. And they would bring their food in to the idols and all of that. And Paul tells the church there in Corinth, he says in 1 Corinthians 10:20, he says, listen, rather than the things with the Gentiles, they sacrifice to demons, not to God. Ooh. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. I don't want you to have koinonia, intimacy with demons. What a word is that? This morning, we're going to talk about deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, and we're going to bring it up to the hour that we're living in, beginning in verse 1. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some, not all, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, the word now, the very first word, gives us the contrast. It takes us back to 3:16, where it talks about the mystery of godliness, and it brings us to verse 1, the contrast, to the great mystery of the apostasy that's going to take place. So the Holy Spirit not only just, look at it, expressly says, the word really is explicitly says. In other words, it is absolutely certain, it is absolutely sure, there's absolutely no confusion when the Holy Spirit speaks. It's divine truth, amen? Now listen, did you catch that? The Holy Spirit says. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks today?
Yes.
Amen, there's not a doubt about it. Remember whenever Philip was there and he was teaching and preaching and so forth, man, revival was breaking out. And in Acts 8:29, I think it is, what did the Holy Spirit say to Philip? Remember the angel had sent him into the desert, and then the Holy Spirit said it to him when his chariot was coming, said, go and overtake the chariot. That was the Ethiopian eunuch. If we went into Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit spake unto Peter. If we went into Acts chapter 13, verse 2, we know that the Holy Spirit spoke and said this, separate unto me, the Holy Spirit said, Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, for the work that I have called them to. The Holy Spirit is not just a doctrine, loved one. The Holy Spirit is a person, amen? He is here, and he wants to move, and he wants to remove every chain and anything that is wrong in your life. That's why he hovers over darkness to remove it, amen? And so he is present with us right now. And look at it now. It says, the Holy Spirit says this, in the latter times. Only found here, that word, those two words, latter times in the New Testament, found only here. Some, not all, some will depart from the faith. Here's what I don't want you to do. Don't confuse the falling away, the specific falling away that's found in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. That's not what we're talking about here. That falling away, remember, takes place after the church is removed. This right here is a different. This is about deception, pockets of deception, heavy deception from the time of the apostles until the return of Christ. And they plan, they are smooth, and we are in a huge pocket of deception in our nation and in the world right now. Man, listen, you know, when you see how the false teaching has escalated in history throughout Christendom, and even today, it is the false teaching and the doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits are unbelievable. And they have, it seems as they have ripened, if you will, through the ages. I believe with all of my heart that we have already, or the world has already paved the way for God to send strong delusion that they may believe the lie once we're removed from this. Amen. Matter of fact, what did John write in 1 John 2:18? He said unto us, he said, listen, this is the last day. This is the last hour. Peter said, listen, mockers are coming and they're going to say, oh, where's the promise of his coming and so forth. We are living right this minute in the latter times. Yes. We're living in the greatest deception that has ever, I believe, occurred in the history of Christendom, and is happening right now. Look at verse 1 again. The Holy Spirit says that some, in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Depart from the faith. The word depart there is a very sad, sad word. It means that a person, a man or a woman, they're going to depart from the essential doctrines of the faith of Christianity. And the word depart means to literally desert. It means to abandon. It, in the Greek, it's literally apostatize. Listen, an apostate is a person, an individual, who willfully and deliberately abandons the faith of Christianity that they once believed. They walk completely away from it. And here's what's sad. Do you remember that Paul had warned the leadership at Ephesus about this? He had warned them in Acts chapter 20. He said, listen, he was telling, he said, savage wolves are going to come in. But they didn't heed his warning. They didn't guard the fellowship at Ephesus. They didn't set up sentinels, and they weren't ready. But he says, Paul says in Acts 20, 29, For I know this, that after my departure, remember Paul had been there 3 years. After my departure, he's talking to the elders of Ephesus. He says, savage wolves will come in among you. And listen to what they're going to do. He says, they're not going to spare the flock. He says, also from among yourselves, your own little church. He says, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. That's the doctrine of demons. And it says, here it comes. And they will drag away the disciples in that fellowship after themselves. I cannot tell you how important what Paul just said. Loved one, listen, first of all, the attack, it didn't come from without the church, did it? It came from within the church, among those who were sitting in the pews there at Ephesus, if you will. And listen, these false teachers then and today, here's what they do. They are identity stealers. Say that with me. Identity stealers. That's exactly what they do. How do I know that? Because they draw disciples. They draw men and women. They draw them away, drag them away. And it says there to give them a new identity. In other words, making disciples like themselves. Identical to themselves, not after Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, you know, why in God's name would anyone that had been taught by the Apostle Paul for 3 years at Ephesus depart from the faith? You ever think about that? Why would they do that? I give you two reasons. The first one is this. They really didn't know the truth. They couldn't have known the truth. If you know the truth, you've been set free. Amen? They didn't know the truth. You know, it's kind of Christians today, they get a lot. You know why they get in trouble? I mean, it's like this. They treat the Bible like a new ownership manual that they have in the glove box of a new car. Have you ever read your owner's manual? No. The only time you read your owner's manual is when, I don't know how this works. I got a problem. Thank you, Mario. It's a true word. And that's the way a lot of Christians, that's the way a lot of young teenagers today treat the Word of God. The second reason that they probably fell away, departed, followed another false teaching from the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons is because, no doubt, if Paul the Apostle was in your midst teaching, the miraculous was always there. Amen? Oh, listen, so they probably experienced the power of God. They had to have. A lot of people experience the power of God, the presence of God, but they have never received the person of God, Jesus Christ. You see, there are people that God heals, but they didn't get saved. Are you following me? What did Jesus say in Matthew 7, 21? He said, many, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do many wonders in your name? And Jesus will say unto them, depart from me. You know, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. You never did the will of God. And Jesus didn't condemn him for preaching. He didn't condemn him for casting out devils or doing many wonderful works. He said, I don't know who you are. You call me Lord, Lord, but you didn't do anything I asked you to do. You're not born again. There's no intimacy between you and me. And maybe exactly that's what happened there. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come, and it's already here, loved one, that when they, meaning professing Christians, they will not endure, they'll not tolerate sound, healthy teaching or doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. I don't want to hear the truth anymore. And be turned aside. Turned aside. Who would turn them aside? I'll tell you, deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Because they're turned aside to fables or to myths, and meaning a lie. Now look at it again, verse 1. It says, the Spirit expressly says in latter times, some will depart from the faith, and now we know why. It says, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines, plural, see that S, doctrines of demons. So the source or the cause of their departure is because what they gave heed to. The word take heed is present continuous in the Greek, which means they constantly were heeding the words of these false teachers. They were actually attaching themselves and devoting themselves daily to the words that were being spoken by the false teachers. Now, what is a deceiving spirit? Because they're present. They're all over the world. Amen? A deceiving spirit is a demon that attempts to lead an individual astray, and he does it by deception. In other words, deceiving comes from the word, when we get our word planet, okay, wandering planet or whatever. So they cause a person to wander away from the truth that can set them free, which is the word of the living God. Amen? That's a deceiving spirit. They are present everywhere. You see the word spirit, that meaning they're unholy, they're filthy, they're fallen angels, if you will. And they teach the doctrine of demons. Now, that means that they're teaching lies from the father of all lies and teaching it as truth. Does that make sense? It's happened then. It is happening today. Right now, we are living in the latter times. And let me tell you something. The world that we live in is getting stronger in their doctrine. The world has a doctrine. You want me to tell you what it is? Here it is. Be conformed. Be conformed to my identity. Be conformed to my lifestyle. You do that, we'll accept you. And you know what? In my identity, in my lifestyle, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter anything. We'll accept you because, well, we're of the world. We're not born again. We're natural man. We're still in Adam. And in Adam, all die, and Christ all be made alive. Amen? No. And I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, how horrible. Listen to me now. Here's what the world wants to do. The world wants to kill, destroy your identity, Christian, your identity in Christ. The world wants you to melt down. The world wants to tell you that you hear it enough, God's not real, God doesn't care. If God really cared, why would all that happen in Uvalde? Why would all those innocent children die if there was really a loving God? Are you with me? And I say, oh, Lord, you see, these people, these deceiving spirits, the world's doctrine says this: I want you to act like me. I want you to talk like me. I want you to think like me. I want you to live like me. I want you to embrace my identity. And a lot of believers are living like the world instead of living above the world. Amen? Yes. When I say, oh, Lord, listen, the Bible says in 1 John 5:19, that the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one, the unbelieving world, the world that doesn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ, that anti-Christ spirit. We do not struggle today against flesh and blood. That's not our fight. Amen? The Bible says in, Ephesians 6:11 or 6:12, it says, put on the whole armor of God. All of it. Not just a few. All the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, strategies, doctrines, schemes of the wicked one. Oh, the deceiving spirits that are so present. And you know how you would say, Bill, how in the world does a deceiving spirit teach doctrine of the devil? How does that happen? Let me tell you how. People. They use people. They use hypocritical liars and so forth, inspired by Satan, and they teach all these things. Look at verse 2. Speaking what? Lies. Pseudologos. Only here in the Greek, in the New Testament. Pseudologos. Speaking lies. Speaking falsely, if you will. And look how they do it. In hypocrisy. So listen carefully now. Demons do their work. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, they do their work through hypocritical liars, meaning people that are, they're play actors, and they know that they're play actors, and here's what they want to do. They want to do something to the youth in the barn. Listen very carefully, everyone in this chapel, those that are listening live right now, listen, they want to do something. They want to remove who you are in Christ Jesus. They want to destroy your identity. They want to change your identity. They'll do anything to remove it piece by piece if they can, through their lies and through their schemes and through their strategies, loved one. So the first thing that they do is outward. They wear a mask of Christianity. They act like Christians. They look like Christians. They might even smell like sheep, but they're not. Do you understand me? No, listen, they are kind. That's what's amazing. Have you ever met them? I have. Oh, they're kind. I've had pastors that are hypocritical liars stand and lie to me and smile and love me. And they're the most charismatic people I've ever been around. You want to believe them. Matter of fact, they're so convincing, it's so easy to believe them. Do you understand? But really, it's an act. It's a play. They're actors. They're just wearing a mask. They're not real. They're playing a part. And here's the tragedy today. They might be pastors in the pulpit, evangelists. They might be on TV. They might be in Bible colleges. Are you following me? They might be online influencers. Oh, listen. But you know what they are? They're servants, not servants of the living God. They labor for the devil. Whenever you hear a pastor deny the virgin birth, or anyone, whenever you hear them deny not only the virgin birth, but the resurrection, when they deny the substitutionary atonement, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for the sins of the world, when they deny the inerrancy of God's word, thy word, Jesus said, is truth, they work for the devil. Do you understand? And I'm not ashamed to say that. And I can receive any email, I don't care. Listen, God's word is truth. Whenever you see a denomination fall away from the doctrines of the holy word of God and perform same-sex marriage, they are not working for Jesus Christ. It's a false doctrine. Do you understand me? Man cannot, they can change God's word, but it's not. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. But they will. Amen. No, and I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, this word is such a today word for us right this minute. Why? Because the world and nations and cities and colleges, they have been groomed by the wicked one. Listen, this world has been groomed to accept as normal same-sex marriage. Do you understand me? You say, Bill, you are a bigot? You hate people? I love people, but I love the truth. Because it's the only thing that'll ever set us free. And I say, oh, the world, I mean, man, the demons have groomed mankind to accept same-sex marriage as normal, to teach evolution as truth, and to even teach us that abortion is choice. That's what's happening right now. Loved one, listen to me. The only battle that we face in this life, there's only one, and that is whether we will believe God's word or not. And whether we will build our life on the integrity and the faithfulness of the living word of God who cannot lie. Amen? Oh, listen, I want to ask you a question. The enemy, do you know what he wants to do? The deceiving spirits, you know what they want to do? They want to define your reality. That's what they want. Not only that, they want to redefine your identity in Christ. Who you really are in Christ. Ask yourself, everyone listening live, there in the barn, listen, this is so important. Ask yourself right now, who or what defines your reality? Is it the living God or is it the God of this age? Boy, we need to know, because I'm going to tell you what, when your reality is the word of God, that defines your life, that defines your walk, that defines your purpose, amen? And Satan is a liar. He is a counterfeiter. Everything that he does, the deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons are so powerful. Listen, just as God speaks truth and then raises up people that have been purchased by the blood of Christ and sends them out to speak his truth, Satan speaks lies and raises up those hypocrites or whatever they might be to go out and speak his lies and speak it as truth. Oh, listen, it says in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, pseudo apostles. They're not apostles, deceitful workers. Isn't that amazing? Pretending to labor for Jesus Christ. Deceitful workers. And here's what they do. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms. That word means to masquerade. It means to disguise himself. Transforms himself into an angel of light. He will disguise himself into anything to try to steal your identity, who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ, he still wants to steal your identity. He wants you to be like him and think like him and hate like him. Does that make sense? Oh, loved one, listen, he's called an angel of light. What does that mean? It means that he is so smooth. And I'm not trying to build him up and give him credit. He's defeated, amen? But the world doesn't know that, but we do. He makes evil look good. He makes darkness, he turns it into light and makes it appear. That's a good thing. Oh, that's wisdom, but it's not wisdom. It's deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Does that make sense? Oh, how careful we need to be. You know, and they come out and they lovingly labor, but they're not laboring for Jesus. They labor for the Lord. Loved one, listen, they offer the Christian back in Paul's day. They offer the Christian today. They offer a life superior to that which is found in the Gospels, in the New Testament, except it's a lie. It's not true. And you may say, Bill, how could anyone do what we're reading about? How can anyone even do this? Well, number one, remember, it's outward. They speak lies and hypocrisy. But then number two, it is inward. And that's where it begins, inward. Their conscience is dead. Look at that verse there. Having their own conscience seared, how? With a hot iron. Conscience, that the faculty of our in our mind here that says affirms or no, yes or no. You know what I mean, our conscience. No, listen, it says it's seared. That means cauterized. It means remember how you brand the cattle? Never mind, you've never done that. You know, I have. No. If I burnt myself horribly right there. I mean, really, would you ever feel that again after it healed? No, it'd be numb. It's cauterized. It has no feeling. It has absolutely no feeling at all. Listen, that's what it means when it says seared. They're dead to any feeling. They're past feeling. They have no shame. They have no guilt. Absolutely nothing bothers them. Why? They've been seared with a hot iron. That's only used here in the New Testament. It means branded. Branded. If you go out and buy an Angus and we brand it with the Calvary Chapel dove, what does that mean? Huh? It means it's ours, right? Okay, that means Satan has branded them. He owns them. Does that make sense? Oh, my Lord, what a horrible place to be. Now, listen, false teachers carry out their hypocrisy because of their conscience. It has been destroyed. I want you to listen to me. Youth, I want you to listen to me in the barn as well. That kind of teaching, the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, they want to destroy your conscience. Oh, dear God, the world that we're living in, this latter time that we're living in right now, have you ever noticed that everybody wants a piece of you? Everybody wants a piece of your thinking. Everybody wants a piece of your mind. My heart is breaking for teens today. Do you know that my counseling today, never before in the history of all the years I've been in counseling, my counseling now is not really marriage counseling anymore. It's a mom and a dad because of the teens and what they're going through in our society, because of the things that are online and all the hell that's breaking loose within our teen in their minds, what they're being taught, the way they're thinking, the way they're being groomed. Oh, listen, our children, our teenage boys and girls, they are in the midst of the worst crisis that I have ever seen in my lifetime, and they're having a gender crisis. Do you understand? They're having an identity crisis of who they are. Where did this come from? Did it come from heaven? No, that's not a doctrine from God. That's a deceiving spirit. That's a doctrine from hell, amen, from the devil. Listen to these statistics. Approximately 50% of teens that were born female but identify as male have attempted suicide at least one time. 30% of teens born male but identify as female have attempted suicide at least once. 28% of teens questioning their gender identity have attempted suicide at least once. Here's what's happening. The devil, our flesh, the world that we live in, here's what they want to do. They want to defile your thinking. They want to deaden your thinking. They want to deaden your conscience. Oh, loved one, listen. No matter how kind and tender and loving false teachers may appear to be, and no matter how kind and tender online gender influences may appear to be, let me tell you what they're doing. They are enablers. Do you understand? They affirm what our teens are going through. They affirm these online influencers, and here's what they do. Listen, they help steal a boy's or a girl's identity. And I don't know how you feel about that, but that's the crisis we're in right now, and it kills me. It makes me weep. And the church should be weeping because you think, well, that's outside. No, no, it's in the church. Do you understand? Oh, and every pastor will tell you that. And it is heartbreaking what our kids are going through. Something has to be done. They're deceiving spirits. Those are doctrines of demons. That doesn't come from a holy God. No, never. Now listen, and look what they do here. Look at verse 3. Now, it's interesting, these false teachers. They're forbidding to marry. Oh, listen, do you know that demonic doctrine is still with us today? Yeah, listen, the devil's doctrines, they are so subtle and so smooth. Listen, why did they do what? Why did they forbid to marry? Why didn't they attack the deity of Christ? Or something like, you know, why didn't they attack the inerrancy of God's word or something? Oh, no. They said, we're going to go after marriage. That's their first lie then and even the lie today. Listen, Satan does something. He always lays his lie alongside of the truth of God's word. Now, listen, Satan always has in his lie a little bit of truth. Do you understand? Okay, he says forbidding to marry. Okay, well, all right. Well, according to the Bible, Paul talks about, you know, that some are called to be single. Amen? Okay, well, okay, you're right. You know, I'm called to be single or whatnot. But here's the problem. They're saying that marriage is forbidden. Forbidden. Why? You're going to have a whole new identity now. You're going to get closer to God than you've ever been in your life. But you can't marry. Oh, no, you can't do that at all. Listen to me, loved one. Beware of any teaching, religious or otherwise, that tampers with the institution of God's marriage. Amen? Oh, be so careful. Beware of any teaching that says, you know what? If you, in marriage, okay, you're married now, but now that you're with us group, this group, and you're identifying with us now, you know, here's what you have to do since you're married. We can't forbid you to be married because you're married, but you have to practice sexual abstinence. I'll say that word. There you go. That's what you need to practice. You know what I'm saying? And he says, now when you do that, it's going to take you to a higher level in your life. You're going to be closer to God than you've ever been. Loved one, that was the early beginnings and stages of what we call Gnosticism, which forbid marriage. But not only that, it's still with us today. Let me tell you what the Gnostics teach then and today. You ready? It says some Gnostics teach that Adam was created without gender. Isn't that amazing? Get the Bible there. Without gender. They teach the ideal state that one should aspire to is androgynous. In other words, neither male nor female, masculine or feminine. In other words, they want to, your sexual identity is suppressed, or it's even eliminated. The Gnostic Gospel of Thomas says this: when you make the male and the female into one, so that the male is not made and the female is not a female, then you shall enter the kingdom of God. What a grand job the doctrines of demon have done with marriage in our day. Did you know that even marriage today has a whole brand new identity? Come on. The oldest institution in the world that God created has a whole brand new identity today in our society. Marriage is not only seen as optional, it's not only seen as disposable, but we already know it has been redefined in our own lifetime. Man, and I say, oh Lord, why is that? Because Satan wants to destroy everything that God has for the marriage couple. In other words, everything that identifies with what God's marriage should be like, he wants to destroy. He wants to give you a brand new identity, if you will. Why? Because Satan knows that marriage, God's way, is the closest bond in the entire universe between one man and one woman, freely totally committed to each other as companion for life. It's the miracle of the marriage covenant where God takes male, female, two different emotions, makeups, and he makes them, the Bible says, one flesh. Oh, Satan hates that. He hates it. He despises it. He doesn't want joy in the family. He doesn't want love in the family. No, listen, he wants to destroy the identity of God-given roles, the husband and the wife. He wants to steal any form of commitment because he hates commitment. He wants a man or a woman to be alone forever, and that's not God's will. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone, and I'll make him a helper comparable to him. But here's what's happening now. Right this minute, in our very midst, Satan, the doctrine of demons and deceiving spirits, he wants to destroy what a man is, or destroy what a woman is. I've never in my life, I never would have dreamed when I went into the ministry that I'd be speaking and talking about such things today. I never in a million years. You know, listen to me. Are you listening in the barn? I want every kid take the ear pods out or whatever you're doing and turn off that sound. Listen to Bill. The devil, these deceiving spirits, he wants every teenage girl and boy, he wants you to say, you know what, you need to create your own identity. Even if it means erasing the identity that was given to you at birth. Listen to me. I didn't know this. I told the early service, I've never listened to a podcast in my life. Here I am 45 years old, and you'd think I know what a podcast was, but I didn't know, and somebody introduced me to the podcast, and I started going, this is pretty cool. And I started listening at things I had no idea, because I don't ever listen to them. You know what I mean? And I started listening to this and listen to me. Here it is. Do you know that a teenage girl can walk into Planned Parenthood facility right now, today, and begin the process without counseling, without parental consent, to have a brand new identity? Did you know that in Oregon, a 15-year-old teenage girl can walk in and say to them, you know what, I want birth control pills, but I also want hormone replacement therapy. Are you listening to me? I mean, right this minute, that's happening right now without parental consent. They can receive right now, walk in and receive hormone blockers without parental consent, without any counseling. It's called gender-affirming hormone therapy. They can even walk into a Planned Parenthood right now without any counseling, without any parental consent, and say, you know what, I don't like my gender. I want to be somebody else, and I feel trapped in my body, all this anxiety, and say, I want top surgery. You know what that means. Now, not all doctors will do that, but there are a lot that will. Do you know what happens? The anxiety that our kids are going through, And they think, if I can just do this, maybe it'll help me. And then they get on there, listen online with all the groups, and they start talking, and they're supporting one another and going forward. And so one little girl, teenage girl, goes, oh, listen, I started my hormone therapy, and I took that test. What's it called? Test. I'm tired. Testosterone. I could use some right now. I probably could. And they give that to a little 15-year-old girl that she never had it in her body before. And all of a sudden, she goes, whoa, my anxiety. I don't have it anymore. I feel confident. Sure you will. That's what it does, that first little surge. Are you listening to me? And they think, I'm on the right path. Oh, yeah, this gender therapy, this is what I need. It's a lie. It's a doctrine of demons. It's a deceiving spirit. Do you understand? I'm not saying that people don't feel that way. I mean, I feel a lot of things in my life. That doesn't mean I'm going to go do it. Oh, my heart breaks for them. I hear so many times the young people, I hate my body. You better say, the devil hates your body. And you know why he hates your body, teenagers? You listen to me. I'll tell you, because you are fearfully, wonderfully made. Do you understand? You're made in the image of God. And he wants to erase your identity. He wants to remove your identity. And the hell that you'll go through. The thoughts that come into, stay offline, stay out of those influence rooms or whatever you call them. You know what I mean? It's terrible. We're living in times, the latter times, when the blind is leading the blind, and we're witnessing right now a revolution against what is real. That's why we need to be in revolution. That's why we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's why we need to stand and get on our knees and pray for our teens today. They're suffering. They're hurting. They're cutting themselves. They're committing suicide. They don't know what to believe in anymore. Which brings us to the second lie of these false teachers. Verse 3, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and by those who know the truth. That's asceticism. In other words, that's where it says starve yourself to death. The ascetics, you know, or whatever they did. They believe that, you know, that if you're going to get closer to God, well, you have to kind of punish your body and so forth. And then you'll really get close to the Lord. Well, if you believe that you need to abstain from foods, don't go out and eat today, okay? No. No, listen, you have to beware of dietary discipline. Then and even today, it's crazy. All the diets, all the fads, all the things that are going on. Listen, there's nothing wrong for dieting to be healthy. In other words, watching what you eat, amen? Well, that's important, you know, especially when you think of the children today and with all the diabetes, it's because of what they're eating. Can I say that? Not only that, you know, many of us, we have food allergies and so forth, you know. I have a food allergy, I understand. You know, and there's certain things I can't eat. There's a lot of you that, you know, you can't have milk. You can't have chocolate milkshakes. Can't have cheese, banana pudding, chocolate pie with Cool Whip on the top. I understand that. You know, I suffer with you. But you know what? You can have a new identity today. You can have, I don't know the diets. I don't know what they're called. I'm on the Mediterranean diet. I'm on the Lone Star Texas diet. You know, I'm on this. I'm on that. Or I'm a vegan. You know, well, hallelujah. You know, if you want to be a vegan, I'll tell you exactly how to do that. If you never want to eat steak again, T-bone steak, ribeye, sirloin, barbecue ribs, more barbecue ribs. You never want to eat that again. If you never want to eat chicken again, crispy chicken. If you never want to eat fish again, here's all you have to do. You ready? I want you to watch this movie, eating our way to extinction. Becky and I watched the other night, and I watched all that, and I saw the fish and all the stuff. I mean, it was, and then I said, I don't think everyone eat anything again, but maybe a cauliflower and carrots. I don't know. And so I said, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? She said, fish. And I said, oh, my God. Abstain from foods. Does eating, if you have a pork chop or not a pork chop, does that bring you closer to God? No. If you eat fish on Friday, does that mean, oh, God loves you more? No, you are fully and totally accepted in God because of Jesus Christ. Amen? God doesn't care if you eat bacon, but that's your problem. I mean, okay, you know? But here's the thing. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 8:8, but food does not commend us to God. Food doesn't draw us near to God. Doesn't make us more holy or more acceptable to God. Whether we eat or we're not the better, or whether we don't eat, we're not the better. No, listen. Where does that food thing that's dietary, where does it come from? It's not from God. It comes from the doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. William Barclay said this about all this, you know, struggling and not doing this, trying to please God. He said, this was an ever-recurring heresy in the church. In every generation, men arose who tried to be stricter than God. Isn't that a true word? Now look at it. Forbidding to marry, commanded to abstain from foods which God created to be received. And how do you do it? With thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Listen, God created marriage and it's good. God created food and it's good. Amen? But the problem is it's difficult to find any food when you go to the supermarket. It's the truth. I mean, no, what do you mean, Bill? I mean, well, you go in there, I can't find a lot of things God created. I mean, you know, I mean, Velveeta cheese, I tell you, God didn't make that. I run from Velveeta cheese. Or Rotel. What is Rotel? Rotel is from Spam. What is Spam? God didn't create those things. So if you're going to go, you better be careful because it's just what God created, not what General Mills created. Amen? It says, for every creature of God is good. That's contrary to what the false teachers just said. And nothing, meaning nothing that God created, is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, meaning, God, thank you, you provided it. For it's sanctified, it's set apart. How? By the Word of God. If you study the Word of God, dietary regulations, they're gone, except if it's something that's with the blood. Amen? Now, and prayer. Do you pray over your food? Listen, you know, if I get to eat a hamburger today, I'm going to pray over. I say, God, protect me from this. Protect me. You think I'm kidding? I do that every time I pray over food. Protect me from this stuff. No. You pray over your food. Listen to me. Celibacy in marriage and abstaining from food, certain foods, doesn't come from the Bible. If the only to abstain yourself from any sexual relations in marriage is only for prayer and fasting, amen? Yeah, so that we know where these doctrines come from. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I want to close. I want everybody listening to me, everyone online, every youth in the barn, I want you to listen to me now. We're living in tragic times. And never has my heart so ached for the teens that are hurting and the young people, the youth, the 25 and 30, right, all that, the confusion and the deception that is going on. The world, the devil, deceiving spirits, they want to steal your identity. Matter of fact, let me tell you something else. They want to remove your identity from this planet. They hate you. The devil doesn't love anyone. He can't love anyone. He is a liar. There's no love in him. He cannot speak the truth, it says in John 8:44. May I just give you a few scriptures here? And I'm going to give it out of another translation besides the New King James. It says in 1 John 4:17, Our standing in the world is identical with Christ if you're a Christian. Think of that, identical with Christ. Jesus said in Luke 6:35, he says, live out this God-created identity. Live it out. This God-created identity. You're made in the image of God. You're born again. You're a new creation. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, he says, grow up, you're kingdom subjects. That's what we've been talking about. He says, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Jesus said in Matthew 24:5, he says, watch out for the doomsday deceivers. Many leaders, he said, are going to show up with forged identities, claiming that I am the Christ, the Messiah. They will deceive a lot of people today, more so than ever before. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons are rampant in our society, and especially online, and especially among kids and teens who are searching, trying to figure out who they are through all the hormones of them growing up. Are you with me? And there's so many enablers that are out there online right now, affirming them, cheering them on. Let me tell you something. As our heads are bowed, everybody praying, and all the youth, you guys that are back there in the barn, you bow your head right now. Pastor Raul and Pastor Kendall, they're with you right this minute, but I want you to listen to me now. Are you struggling today? I'm bold right now, and this is, every head must be bowed and every Christian praying. Are you struggling with your gender? I don't care how old you are. Are you struggling with it? Are you being attacked in your mind by these deceiving spirits? Are you cutting yourself? Are you doing those things? Are you thinking daily about suicide? If you are, listen to me. No one looking around, and you'll not have to come to this altar, but if that's happening in your heart, if that's happening in your life, don't come here, but just raise your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. Just pray for me, Bill. I just, like in the early service, so many people said, just pray. Pray for me. Just lift your hand up in the barn. You do that right this minute. If you're struggling with that, lift it up and just say, Bill, Pastor Roland, and then they'll pray for you, but just lift it up and put it right back down. Father, there's no one like you. No one. You saw their hearts, their hands, Lord, those online, those in the barn, those here, whatever you saw. We pray, I pray, that right now you would smother them with your love, your grace. Help every father, help every mother that's going through struggles with their teens. Oh, God, help them. They're hurting. They're hurting. And the teens are hurting. The young people are hurting. Lord, don't let their identity in Christ be stolen. And as our heads are still bowed and no one looking around, maybe you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Lord. Let me tell you something. You need a new identity. You need to become a new creation in Christ. You need to be born again. And you can do that right now. You can say, you can ask Christ to be your Lord. Just lift your hand if that's you and put it right back down. Say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. I want Christ. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I've never asked, lift it high if that's you, because I can't see very well. I need to see it. Just put it high and put it back down. My last call, I'll not ask again. Anyone here? But Father, then I pray everyone here is born again. And I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word. I thank you that you set the captive free. I thank you that we'll not fall prey to deceiving spirits or doctrines of demons, oh God. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are co-heirs with Christ. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies right this minute. Oh, God, thank you that our identity is with you, and you, your identity can never be altered. It can never be changed, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? God is so good. Now listen, it's time to go. If you're visiting for the first time, I'm going to depart to the Welcome Center. They have a free gift over there they'd love to give you if you need prayer. Jesse's going to close us out. There he is with a song. There'll be people down here to pray with you as well. I pray you have a wonderful time out there. I pray you fellowship. Amen? Just eat good. You know, then you can repent. I love you dearly. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this church. I'm going to charge you with a loving charge. Pray for teens. Pray for them. Pray for them. They need our prayers. Amen? Amen. I love you. The Lord bless you. Let's go have a great day.